Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'll be talking Hall of Fame finalists. We'll talk about all who's on the list, guys. LeBron James passes 40,000 points. Steve Kerr gets paid, guys. Also, KD moves up in the all scorers list. Also, some fights that broke out and a whole lot more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And in this episode, I want to combine the weeks, which means there's a lot of news here. So let's get right into it, shall we? We will start with the Detroit Pistons. Isaiah Stewart arrested, guys, for punching Drew Eubanks. And this happened like prior to the game between Detroit and Phoenix. It was a road game for the Detroit Pistons, and they got into it. So much so, Isaiah Stewart got arrested. Supposedly, it was unprovoked as well, according to all that witnessed it. So Isaiah Stewart gets a 3-game suspension as a result of that. Isaiah Stewart, who we've seen have those type of anger management issues, we've seen it in the past with him. So thus why he gets the 3-game suspension. And speaking of more fights, we have another one that took place. This one took place February 23rd. And this was a game between the Miami Heat and the New Orleans Pelicans. And in that game, Zion Williamson, he ends up stealing the ball from, and this is late in the fourth quarter, it happens, stealing the ball from Jimmy Butler. He goes up for a layup. Kevin Love kind of gives him a bear hug, kind of preventing him from going up and dunking the ball or laying it up, whatever he was going to do. And Zion comes down kind of hard, to which a kind of melee ensues. You see Najee Marshall going after Jimmy Butler, even kind of choking him a little bit. Jimmy Butler not having it, going after him. And then separately, another fight breaks out where you have Jose Alvarado going up against Thomas Bryant, so much so that Jonas Valanciunas had to get over there and deal with Bryant as well. So in the end, guys, Jimmy Butler gets a 1-game suspension as well as Najee Marshall. And then also you have Thomas Bryant and Jose Alvarado getting 3-game suspensions for leaving the bench and then having their altercation. And then also Nikola Jovic for the Heat, he gets a 1-game suspension as well for leaving the bench. So here you have all this going on. And the thing was, I saw the play. It wasn't even that big a deal as far as the foul goes. It wasn't a takedown by Kevin Love. Kevin Love is not built that way. He was just kind of preventing Zion from going in there and slamming the ball down. For that to end up being all of this, kind of a bit much. But when all is said and done, the suspensions went down and Joe Dumars, the czar of that sort of thing, handed down his suspensions. So that be that. All right, so that is that bit of news. Let us move on. Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame finalists, guys. We have our list now, and it comprised of Vince Carter, he's the headliner, guys, along with Dick Barnett, part of the Veterans Committee, him being with the New York Knicks. Also, Chauncey Billups, of course, Mr. Big Shot. Doug Collins as a contributor, given him being a player as well as his contributions as far as analyst work and everything else. Michael Cooper, he's back on the ballot, guys. Of course, the sixth man for the Lakers during their championship runs, the defensive whiz. Also, Walter Davis, but this will be done posthumously since he passed in 2023. Also, Herb Simon as a contributor as well, the longtime governor of the Indiana Pacers. Jerry West, also as a contributor, because he's already in as a player, guys, so he could get double honor with this one, going in as a contributor. His work in the front office for the Lakers and a few other organizations as well. Bo Ryan, college coach, most notably with Wisconsin. Also, you have Simone Augustus of LSU. Then she goes on to the WNBA with the Minnesota Lynx. Marion Washington, longtime college coach. Also, Michelle Timms from overseas, Australia, and also she has played in the W as well. Holly Redden, another veteran committee nominee also. So that is your list, guys, of finalists. Missing the cut, Marcus Johnson, once again, missing the cut. For reasons unbeknownst to me, he should be in, guys. He's one of the top forwards, late 70s, early 80s. Well, pretty much the 80s. Fabulous small forward during that time. Tom Chambers, another guy. I think I've mentioned it in a previous podcast episode. Tom Chambers is one of two players who scored over 20,000 points and is not in the Hall of Fame. The other player, Antoine Jameson. But Tom Chambers, I would think he would get a sniff of the Hall of Fame. Maurice Lucas, longtime enforcer in the NBA and a heck of a player, part of that championship Portland Trailblazer team, and just a guy who's been around winners pretty much most of his career. So he misses the cut. Sean Marion, the Matrix, he misses the cut, surprisingly. Dick Motta, and also Jennifer AZ. I was surprised about that too. But those are the ones that missed the cut as far as being finalists. You do have being inducted in Debbie Antonelli. She's getting the Kirk Gowdy Electric Media Award for her analyst work in women's college basketball. And also she does analyst work for the WNBA. J.A. Adonde getting the Kirk Gowdy Print Media Award. Longtime writer based out in the L.A. area there. Also Inside Stuff and Slam Magazine, headed by Dennis Page. They're getting the Kirk Gowdy Transformative Media Award. And then Joanne Scott, she's getting the John Bunn Lifetime Achievement Award. So they're to be inducted, those names I just named. So they'll be a part of the ceremony. But your finalists, we'll see what happens there. So that is that on that bit of news, guys. LeBron James, actually, who ends up getting Player of the Week for the West for Week 18. LeBron James surpasses 40,000 points, guys, in a loss to the Denver Nuggets. Actually, this was a home game for them. So he does it in front of the fans, reaches 40,000 points, guys. In a game where they were up actually at the half, 66-58, but ends up losing that game. And he does it, guys, on a layup at the 10:39 mark in the second quarter. So LeBron James entering rarefied air and just obliterating the scoring record, guys. So you have a guy now at 40,000 points plus, over 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists, the likes of which we may not see for a very, very long time, guys. And as it stands right now, as far as the Denver Nuggets, you get good gains from the Joker, 35 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Michael Porter Jr. with a perfect game, guys. 25 points, where he was 10 for 10 from the field, 5 for 5 from 3, no free throws. With 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Jamal Murray had 24 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. LeBron finished that game, 26 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. Rui Hachimura with 23 points from him and 3 rebounds. Anthony Davis, only 17 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks for him. So as it stands right now, the Los Angeles Lakers, 33-29 as of this recording, which has them 10th in that Western Conference, a half a game behind Golden State. I'll talk about Golden State a little bit. So they're in that play-in spot along with Golden State, and I'll delve into that further later. Whereas the Denver Nuggets are third right now, a half a game out of that first place spot. Actually, scratch that, they're about a game behind now. With that said, that is your news as far as LeBron James breaking yet another milestone, guys. Let us continue on. Injury news, guys, and a lot of it, so let's get into it. Onyeka Okongwu of the Atlanta Hawks, he's out indefinitely, guys, with a toe sprain. One that he hurt February 12th, and he did it in a home loss to the Chicago Bulls. So your backup center over there, they had already been missing Clint Capella at the time, but he's actually now back. But Okongwu, not sure we're going to see him before season's end. We'll see what happens there. Patrick Williams for the Chicago Bulls. Speaking of Chicago, he underwent foot surgery and he's now out for the season. Patrick Williams, a forward for them. He's had a rash of injuries, guys, throughout his NBA career, and this is yet another one that kind of derails him. And he hasn't played since January 25th, guys, but Patrick Williams out for the year. Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, talking about Atlanta, he has a torn ligament in his hand that he suffered in a February 23rd game, which was a loss actually at home to Toronto. He had surgery, and he's going to be out 4 weeks, guys. Big blow for the Atlanta Hawks right now. They are 10th in the East, so they're in that play-in position there. They're only 2 games up on the Brooklyn Nets, so if Brooklyn was to make a move, this would probably be the right time to do so. We'll see if Atlanta can hold up without their star player, Trae Young. Their all-star player, in fact. Scottie Barnes fractures his hand in a home loss to the Golden State Warriors. This all happened on March 1st. He's out indefinitely, guys. We're still waiting to hear word how long. But fractured hand, not good, guys. And in the same kind of news, Russell Westbrook of the Los Angeles Clippers, he fractures his hand in a home win over the Washington Wizards, and he's out indefinitely. So you have these two similar injuries taking place. So we will see what happens with those guys and what the prognosis is. Good news, though, for the Golden State Warriors, they get Chris Paul back. He makes his return February 27th in a road win over the Washington Wizards. And he is actually coming back from a fractured hand. And he missed 21 games, guys, that it took for Chris Paul to come back from a fractured hand. Albeit he's an older player than those two guys, but that kind of gives you kind of a baseline as to the kind of time these guys could possibly miss. So moving on, Joel Embiid, he's doing on-court workouts, guys, and he's back in the weight room as well following his knee injury. no timetable for him to return yet. So there's a thought that he could possibly be shut down for the season. We'll see. But right now, at least he's getting back in there doing some work. He's trying to come back, guys, the way it seems here. So we'll see what happens in B. And then we'll talk about the New York Knicks. OG Anunoby, he's expected back in a matter of a few weeks, coming from that elbow injury that he had. Hopefully we'll get to see OG very soon. As for Julius Randle, he has no timetable for his return from his shoulder injury. And there's still the idea out there that he could possibly require surgery. He is out there working, trying to ramp himself back up, but we're not sure how things are going to play out in that regard. I mean, with the Knicks, they've been very tight-lipped with their injury reports. They come out in drips and drabs. But as of now, no timetable for Randle. As for Mitchell Robinson, he started basketball activities, guys. He was supposed to start after the All-Star game. He did that. So it's just a matter of him getting ramped up. He's got the walking boot off now after his ankle injury. Right now, no timetable for him. We could see him before season's end. That remains to be seen. And then the latest news, guys. Jalen Brunson suffers a knee contusion. And that happened in the first minute against the Cleveland Cavaliers on March 3rd. And right now the x-rays are negative. That's a good thing, guys. As far as how long he'll be out, really can't say right now. Kind of too early to tell. But I would say right now, I say out indefinitely, which is a tremendous blow to the Knicks. You're already the walking wounded. This just adds kind of salt to the wounds, so to speak. So we'll see how the Knicks survive this one. And this one really hurts, guys. So we'll see what happens there. Oh, one more piece of injury news. Devin Booker. He's going to be out 7 to 10 days following an ankle injury for him that he suffered in a loss to the Houston Rockets, and that happened on March 2nd. So he could possibly miss 4 to 5 games. So it's not that serious, guys. It could have been a whole lot worse for Devin, but he's able to kind of dodge a bullet as far as that goes. But he's expected back 7 to 10 days, guys. At least he'll be evaluated and we'll take it from there. So that is your injury news, guys. Kevin Durant passes Carmelo Anthony on the all-time scoring list. Now he is in 9th place, guys. And he passed him on February 23rd in a loss to Houston. Next on his list, Shaquille O'Neal, who right now he's about less than 300 points behind. So he could possibly pass him by season's end, guys, I would think, if form holds. But Kevin Durant climbing up the all-time scoring list couldn't make it to 8 before the season's out, guys. And then also, as an aside, he did go on his podcast there with the agent, Rich Kleiman, and boy, you know, these guys can't get the Knicks off their lips sometimes. So they talked about when he was a free agent coming out of Golden State, how Rich Kleiman wanted him to be a New York Knicks so bad. And that's when he went to Brooklyn. And we all know what happened in Brooklyn, where he joined up with his buddy Kyrie, but they fell short of expectations there. Albeit injuries played a part of it, a whole pandemic played a part of it, and other factors as well. He still makes the claim the Knicks weren't cool at the time. Now they're, you know, when they're winning, they're cool. And it's funny with these guys. They rather go to a nice, cushy situation and kind of things come easy to them, as opposed to going there and trying to build something and you kind of take it from there. But That's water under the bridge. He made his choice. He went to Brooklyn and worked out exactly how I predicted it worked out and how it ended up. So he's in Phoenix now. Good for him. Let us move on. Steve Kerr, he gets rewarded with a contract extension, guys. He gets an additional 2 years. So he'll be coaching Golden State if form holds through the 2025-2026 season. Steve Kerr also recently won his 500th game that he did in 764 games. The fifth fastest in league history, guys. So right now he's at, as of this recording, 505 wins against 265 losses and a 65.6% win percentage. Very good. He's been to the finals 6 times as a coach. He's 4-2 in those times. He's coached 10 years now for the Golden State Warriors. And he has a total of 9 NBA titles. He has 5 as a player, 4 as a coach. And actually, he's the first player slash coach to have more than 3 as a player and a coach. So, rarefied air for Steve Kerr. But Steve Kerr, he gets rewarded, guys. So, the way I see it, by about 2026, I would think probably Steph Curry being unretired by then. Seems like Klay is on his way out. Draymond, he would probably be, because he just signed a 4-year deal, so he'd probably be going into his last year on the deal. So we'll see what happens with Steve Kerr, but he gets well rewarded for the work he's done in Golden State, so you can't take that away from him. So congrats to Steve Kerr on getting its extension. And what is probably an NBA first, guys, you have Del Curry, an analyst for the Charlotte Hornets. As you know, his son, Seth, was traded there during the trade deadline. On February 23rd, he actually got to call a game in which Seth Curry went up against his brother, Steph Curry. And Del Curry got to call that game, guys. And it was actually a home game for Golden State. So Del Curry traveled to Golden State to call that game, a game in which Golden State won. So something of note, something I thought was pretty cool, you know, for Del Curry to have that opportunity to call a game with both his sons there. Pretty nice. Let us move on. New Orleans Pelicans. They troll Stephen A. Smith after he once again fat shames Zion Williamson on First Take. There was a, you know, segment where they talked about, it was Quick Takes. They talked about New Orleans Pelicans, who were actually on a 4-game win streak. But that didn't stop Stephen A. from talking about he's eats too much hamburgers. The chef in New Orleans are looking for him, you know, that sort of stuff. So, New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not even going to say the Pelicans. Someone who runs their social media account. Because that's the way this stuff works. This is not like the owner has the account and he's posting stuff. This is a social media person. Thought it would be pretty clever to string together some of Stephen A's gaffes, if you will. Pitching off the rubber at Yankee Stadium and not looking so well. Him out there trying to box, lose his weight, then showed him missing a shot. Then, of course, had a picture of him, you know, the Wilt Chamberlain where he holds up the 100. It had Stephen A. holding up the 1.5, which is his average at Winston-Salem. I thought it was pretty clever. But, of course, Stephen A., being the thin-skinned person that he is, he strikes back at them on his podcast. Still fat shaming the guy, which is unfortunate. And then also he attacks the organization for their lack of winning over the years. And also he's critical of Antonio Daniels, who shot back at Stephen A. for his criticism of Zion Williamson. He called it lazy, you know, uninformed. So Stephen A. went back at him. My whole thing is Stephen A. can dish it out, but he can't take it. And that's the problem. He can troll the Dallas Cowboys. He has that video that he runs with, you know, the people sad after a playoff loss. The one girl that looked pissed off. Then he had the guy hugging the girl that wasn't his girlfriend or whatever the case was. So he can troll, but he can't allow someone to troll him. Instead of taking it in stride, letting it be water falling off his back, he has to go on his podcast and shoot back at him. I just think it's lame, to be honest with you. Thought it was pretty clever, but apparently when you got thin skin, I guess it's not all that clever in your eyes. So yeah, so take it for what it is. So with that said, I think I'm going to cut it off here, guys. I do have a second half that I want to do, but I'll just cut it off here. All right, guys. So this is part one. Got another bit to go. Actually, some substantial stuff here. So, all right, guys. So I thank you for listening as always. Part two is on the way, guys. All right. Take care and we'll talk soon. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us at sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening, and take care.